We finish off yesterday, Daf, the end of Chaf Ches Mabez, the Mishnah on the bottom, going on to Chaf Tes today. So the Mishnah says, Kol Shivas Hayamim, entire 7-day period, Adam Oses Sukaso Keva. He makes his Sukkah his permanent dwelling space. The Ubeis Arai in his house becomes a temporary. He has to move everything inside his Sukkah now. Yarduk Shabim, so let's say it begins to rain. When is a person allowed to go back inside to the house? So says the Gemara, his food, Rashi says, what does this mean? Anything that's kind of congealed is called kafoy lo rach lo ab. It's not soft, it's not thick. So I'm not sure like what a good example of that might be. Jello or something, I don't know.
Like porridge,
yeah. Porridge, some type of mixture that's not too hard, not too soft. Mishnah said once that starts raining and starts ruining the porridge, so then you're allowed to go back inside. Mishnah brings an interesting mashal ma'adavar domer. What's this compared to? What's this similar to? Le'evid sheba limzo kos l'drabo v'shafach lo kiton apanof. So a servant comes to bring to dilute the water, dilute the wine, rather, of his Rebbe. So the Rebbe has some wine, very strong wine. They used to pour some water to make it drinkable. He comes ahead, and the Rebbe takes the water and throws it in Evid's face. Remember, the Gra asks the question, why don't you just bring a case where he's bringing the actual wine? Why is it where he's bringing the water to dilute the wine? It's a very strange case. So why doesn't he throw the wine back in his face? So the Gra explains that the water represents Midas Chesed. Midas Chesed, water, versus wine is Midas Din. So coming off the heels of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're trying to ask for Midas Rachmim. So Sukkah is supposed to be a continuation of that, of course. So represented symbolic of the water of Chesed. We're trying to take the water and dilute the din, the wine. But comes along, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want our mitzvah, so he takes the water, the Midas Rachmim, and throws it back in our face. We're not going to dilute the wine. We're going to have a Midas Din here, only represented by the wine. That's what he says, the mashal specifically in such a way.
Because the
rabbi
doesn't want to waste the wine, he'd rather just throw the water.
It's much cheaper, right? you're right.
Much more poetic and all that.
That's a Bob Bathish answer. So there's Machlokes Rishonim, why exactly the person is potter when it starts to rain. The simple reason is because mitzvah. I don't want to sit when it rains in the sukkah. So just like any other mitzvah we've been mentioning several times, you're potter, so too here. The Ritva later on tells us the reason why you're potter is because Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do the mitzvah. Not because I'm mitzvah, because Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do the mitzvah. He's throwing me out of the sukkah. So there are a number of nafkaminas. Let's say you're a mean neighbor. Actually, I know once, my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig, he always had all these, every sukkah he had people come to his house, Tamidim come to his house. One year I wasn't there, the neighbors were throwing rocks at the sukkah. He lives in Kew Gardens, not in the best area of Kew Gardens. So let's say your neighbors were throwing rain, throwing water on, you know, pouring buckets of water on. Are you allowed to leave? So if the problem is because of mitzvah, certainly you're allowed to leave, it's mitzvah. But if it's because of Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you, well, that's not Kadosh Baruch Hu doing it, that's your neighbors who are doing it. So according to the Ritva, maybe you shouldn't be able to, you shouldn't have to leave the sukkah mitzah the rain, but mitzah mitzvah you would, but it wouldn't be the same din. It wouldn't be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's telling you to leave. The Gemara also talks about like when you leave the sukkah, you're supposed to leave with your head down and all disappointed. So that's only true if it's raining, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is making it rain and making you not do the mitzvah. But if it's coming for some other reason that you're mitzvah, you wouldn't have to necessarily leave in such a way. Other things they say, also, let's say it's raining, it's a little drizzle. I remember last year also, I was walking over to Lawrence to my in-laws during Sukkot, and it was pouring, I got drenched the way there. When we got to the Sukkot, it stopped raining, but it's still dripping down a little bit in the schach. So let's say it's uncomfortable to be there, but it's not actually ruining the porridge. So if it's mitzvah, so then you're pater. If it's because then a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to be there, then you have to follow the shear, the exact shear given by the Mishnah, when it rains so much that it ruins your porridge, that's when you're supposed to leave. So there are a number of nafkaminas between
these.
In terms of which approach? I'm not sure exactly how we, Lemaisa, I don't know. I think the simplest understanding is probably Mitztayer. The Mordechai writes Mitztayer. I think the Rama writes Mitztayer also, so I think that's probably the simplest approach.
Well, the Shulchan Aruch passes that if somebody stays in the sukkah, he's considered a hedyo.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it was midim mitzvah, you'd think the person would be allowed to stay in the sukkah. That, I mean, personally, I could overcome it. It's not a big deal to me. If it's beside the fact that Hashem's sending you a message.
Right.
And that's why he's ahead of you.
I think you're right. I think maybe in the back they connect that point where you're saying to that. Yeah, I think they connect exactly what you said. Yeah, very good. Okay. So the Gemara continues and says, one other point here. Where's that Rashi? See, look at Rashi. The first wide line of Rashi, Mashal le'evid v'chule. Rashi says, Kolomar, kishamim hayordim b'chag, simen klal lahim. It's a simen klal if it rains on Sukkot. So it's Mashra from Rashi. The simple reading is, if it rained any day of Sukkot, the entire 7-day period, it rains any time, it's going to be a simen klala. The Rambam writes in Perish Mishnas, on this very mission, he says, if it rains on the first night alone, only then will it be a simen klala. The rest of the time, it will not be a simen klala.
2 years ago, it rained a little bit in Israel, the first night.
On the first night?
Yeah.
Didn't it rain this past year also?
This past year, I think.
1 or 2 years
ago. Right. Remember, we had to leave for like 5 minutes.
Right. It was a heavy downpour, yeah. I remember someone saying.
Yeah, it was a very short time.
Yeah. A rough season this year. The snow and lack of rain.
Okay. Yeah, very tough.
Fine. Murray says, what?
Crazy.
Remember like 10 years ago, no, like 12 years ago, I was there in Israel and the wind was blowing all the sukkahs off the roofs.
Right.
It was 12 years ago, I think it was.
Simon Glela.
Yeah. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Shivas HaYamim Adam Osa Sukkaso Keva. The entire 7 days, a person has to make his primary residence in the sukkah. Ubeso Arai in his house is supposed to be this temporary residence. Ketzad, how you look Kalim, if he has Kalim, not in beautiful utensils, Malin Lasuk, he'd bring them up. And the reason why they always use Malin, their sukkahs used to be on top of the roofs. So they used to always go up and down. So that's Malin, you bring up to the rooftop. Matzos, nals, you have nice sheets, nice tablecloths, smal in the sukkah, you bring them up to the sukkah. Ochel v'shosa, you eat and drink there. Umatayel, you're supposed to walk around the sukkah. You want to go for a little trip. If you have a large enough sukkah, all your free time, all your leisure time is supposed to be spent in the sukkah. Mikan, minahadim, how do we know this? Titan Rabban, the Brisa says, Teshru, you're supposed to dwell, Kain Tadur, you're supposed to sit in the, live in the sukkah the way you live normally in your house. Mikan Amru, from here they would say, Kol Shivas HaYamim Osa Adam Sukkaso Keva Ubeisa Arai Ketzad, how do you see again? How you look Kalim Na'im Malin L'Sukkah Matzals Na'os Malin L'Sukkah Ocha V'Shosu Metal B'Sukkah. And now this price adds Umishanin B'Sukkah, you're also supposed to learn in the Sukkah. What about sleeping? The Gemara elsewhere said, the Mishnah talks about sleeping in the Sukkah also. It's interesting, you're right.
That's
it doesn't
the main
mention
thing, supposedly, is sleeping.
According to some, right. But you're right, it's interesting that Bryce does not mention that here. Yeah. But the Mishnah had mentioned that. Right in the beginning, this parak is called Hayashin Tachas Mita, sleeping.
I think it doesn't say because it's obvious for the Mishnah that you sleep in the...
Yeah?
This is just telling you on special occasions what you do.
I don't know, eating in the sukkah? That also seems to be obvious. Ocha v'shosa, that's more obvious, I think, than sleeping. Even though one might say sleeping is more important, in terms of what's being obvious, I mean, eating and drinking is more obvious, I think. I guess sleeping...
Is tadir more than sleeping?
It depends how you define it, the tadir. Sleeping, you're probably spending more time sleeping than you are eating and drinking.
Yeah, but more times you sleep.
More frequently.
Yes.
That's part of the question, is it how many times or how much time? So again, and the Gemara says you're supposed to learn in the sukkah as well. So then the Gemara asks, is that really true? Are you really supposed to learn in the sukkah? V'hama Rava says, Mikra umasna b'metal telasa.
Yes, le'ayen madua lo niskara b'mishnah she'ina b'sukkah. It says, re'et tzofnat paneya adaran v'milchot sukkah vav.
He says, look it up, why it doesn't mention sleeping.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Adam's investing into it. Tzofes paneach right now. He's looking to buy one. He pointed out that horror. Okay. So the Gemara says, so Mishnah just told us that you're supposed to learn in the sukkah. Gemara challenges that. But Aini, is that really true? V'hama Rava Mikro Masa V'Metatalasa. Metatalasa is Aramaic for a schach, a shade. You're supposed to mikro learn Torah Shebichsav. U'masna, Rashi tells us, means to where that Rashi goes? Learn Mishnahs, right. You're supposed to study in the inside the sukkah, but when it comes to Tenuye, which Rashi tells us, when you learn Shas, you learn Gemara, which is the Svara, the analysis, the Tircha, we read inside, it's actually very nice reading inside Rashi, that it's supposed to be bar, outside Mimatat Lasa. That's supposed to be outside the sukkah, in the house. Just look at Rashi for a second to get this clear, the different types of learning. Take it from the top Gemara, that Rashi in the first Rashi in our Gemara. Umishanim basukkah, he says, what does Mishanim mean? Sover limudo, umichaschasa abruyo, la'amod, dahainu shemaisa damaroi. This refers to learning the sukkahs, understand everything clearly, going back and forth. Visvar shatame mishnah, learning the logic behind the mishnahs. Ubraisa matam zechai, zepater, zeasa, zemoter, not simply just saying what the facts are behind it. Mikre umasli, Rashi says, is likros shebechsav. Ulishnos means mishnahs haruchos, ushkurs bepet, to chazer over the mishnahs that you know by heart. B'metatlasa means pesukah. B'tenuye means hashas du svar. That's the Gemara. The logic. L'tzroach l'shanin, to be matriach, to put a melis and effort inside. V'chein shemais da maroi, to understand the different halachas of the maroim. Shein embalas elam mechlad diktuke shein l'maydim mitocha divrei mishnah di medama milsa l'milsa. And the maroim, which say things comparing this mishnah to that mishnah, back and forth, a lot of depth. So the first price is sounds like you're supposed to do all the learning in the sukkah. The second statement of Rava says it depends what type of learning you're doing. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a machlokas. What's the difference? Lokasha habi migras habi yune. One's migras, what does migras mean? Rashi tells us. Three lines from the bottom, hala migras, kilomer, tre gavne shinuya habi. There are two types of learning. One is the migras Gemara habrulo, to chazer, to repeat over that which you know already with clarity. Kvar, you already know this. V'hainu shemaisa tzarcha sukkah, v'hainu mishanim. When you know that you need a sukkah, that's when it says, sorry, that's when the sukkah says you need a sukkah, that's when it comes to just chazing over mishnayos, halachas are clear to you, just reviewing over. When it comes to liyune, says Rashi, bar mivitalasa, that's supposed to be outside the sukkah. Because when you're doing, when you look at Rashi, So Tosa has his line, the idea is, when you're trying to think, understand the svara, the logic, the analytics behind the Gemara, you need a little bit more comfort to think about. You just sit back and just think and go over and walk around. You need a house which is a little bit more comfortable for thinking like that. The sukkah is not like that. You want to do everything you can in the sukkah, but it can be distracting. You're on top of the roof, you hear cars drive by, you hear people talking outside, so you're not so focused. So when it comes to in the sukkah, you just chazer things over because you don't need to have such thought. It just chazer over and over again. When you have to really sit down and think about something, you need some privacy. You need to go inside your house, into your private study. That's the difference between the types of learning. Going on to now, Chof Tesman Aleph, the Gemara says, Ki had the Rabbah, just like Rabbah Bar Chama, Kava Kaima Mekami Dev Chista. When he would stand in front of Rav Chista, Mirahati be Gemara, he would review the Gemara. Jirahati means to run through and just chazer that which he knew already. Behadeh hadadeh, and go back and forth chazering. And then Behadeh ma'ayin and bisvar, then after he'd know everything clear, all the Mishnahs ba'al peh, then he'd try to understand what's behind the Mishnahs. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says the same thing also. That person should, I don't remember the exact line, but the Olam Adam, what's the line? The Gemara there says that a person should always go quickly through Gemara, go through Mishnahs, know it well, be exposed to everything first, have a good overview of things, and then afterwards you're supposed to look into the depth of things. It's hard to know Ian if you don't know the basics first. So that's what the Gemara is talking about here. You need both elements. You need the idea of memorizing all the basics and then understanding the svar behind it. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rava, Mani Mishasya b'metatalasa, the kalim used for drinking, you could leave bimital lasa, which is in the sukkah. Mane michle, the food used for eating, bar mimital lasa. Yeah, you have to have outside the sukkah. Why? Rashi explains that, look at bimital lasa. The fish ain't a musim. It's not gross. When you have like leftover cups after you drink from it, so it's not disgusting, you're allowed to leave it in the sukkah. Mane michla, says Rashi, is karos. You have the plates that are left over after you finish eating. It's dirty. You have some ketchup left over. You have some crumbs. It's a little bit disgusting. That's not allowed to be in the sukkah. So it's all because of mias, because it's disgusting. Tosas takes a different approach. Tosas writes, you look at Tosas, the top one, Mina de Michli. He writes, Karos la'achash achlu behen tzarech lehotziyam mi'asukka mishum mi'us kach peres Rashi, kach peres hakunchus. Yesh mefarshim, there are those who explain, kigon kideros, the pots that he used to bake things, v'agne delisha, v'tame dekein tedur ba'inan. The reason is not because it's must, because it's disgusting, it's because you have to live the way you live in the house. V'hane ein ragil li'os b'bayis b'zira el b'bayis yesh lehem levadam. You don't bring the pots into your dining room, you have the pots living in the kitchen. So now your sukkah is supposed to be your dining room, not your kitchen. The kitchen is where you prepare things. The sukkah is where you eat things. So you don't have pots lying around in your dining room. Therefore, you can't have pots lying around in your sukkah either. So Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosos, what exactly the issue is here? And I think Lamaisi is passing both ways. You shouldn't leave pots, shouldn't have pots in there. And you shouldn't leave over any garbage that would be mias to the sukkah. Continues the Gemara and says, Chatzva v'shachil. Rashi says chatzva is kad shacheres sheshovim bohamayim, a pail you'd use to draw water. V'shachil is a delishal eitz, a pail made of wood. One's made of earthenware, one's made of wood. So these things bar mimetalasa. That has to be outside the sukkah. V'sharga b'mitalasa. But when it comes to a candle, it's supposed to be inside the sukkah. You need to be able to see where you're going. You need a little lamp in the sukkah. Others say, no, the candle has to be outside the sukkah. Machlokas, should the candle be inside or outside? The Gemara says, "Lo pligi, it's not really a machlokas. Haba sukkah gedola, haba sukkah katan. Depends how big the sukkah is." Rashi explains, well, who cares about the size of the sukkah? So Rashi says, sukkah katana shall shir mitzumtum shiva tfachim. If it's an exact sized sukkah, 7x7 tfachim, asala nichem b'sukkah, you can't place it inside. And the simple understanding of Rashi is, because there's no room. Once you put a large lamp in there, you've taken away from the room of the sukkah, and you no longer have 7x7. That's how the Achronim understand Rashi. It takes away from the size of the room. You're trying to get it right?
It's using for two ways, or to live, or to take out. No, it's interesting.
What do you mean?
One word in every sentence is, one time they're using it, that word, in order to describe, to leave the thing. And one time they're using the mintalalta to take out. It's the same word, but two different
actions. No. One's, mintalalta means sukkah.
Right, bar is
bar outside. Is outside the sukkah. The word alone means sukkah. Bar means outside.
Oh, that means sukkah.
Yeah.
Because it's too big, so
much. You pronounce it much better than I did, though.
What's the problem?
How to pronounce it?
Metalalta.
Metalalta. That's a sukkah?
Metalalta is sukkah. You never heard?
No.
Me neither.
First time. I think that, you know, we went through all.
I also never heard.
30 pakim. That's first time they bring it up.
Okay. No? First time. We may have seen it before, yeah.
Yeah?
Adam might remember. He won't respond. Okay. So the reason why, again, Rashi says you can't have a candle in a sukkah katana is because we're talking about a sukkah that's exactly the minimum shear, and placing a lamp inside is going to take away from the shear. Tosas, the longer Tosas on this page at the end, says it's not because of that. Rather, it's because Shema Hainu Taima Dimishim Dimokbinim Basukkah Katana Chayshinon Shema Tisaf Sukaso. Because it's such a small sukkah, you're afraid it's going to burn down, and that's why, very practical reasons. So Machlokas Rashi tells us again in terms of why a candle may not be used in a small sukkah.
Mafkamin would be according to Rashi. It's dafka, he says, Zayin tvachim tzumtzum, because if he's concerned about the shear, it's only the amount that can reduce it. But the Tosas could even be a little bigger than that. So katana just means something that will cause a fire.
Exactly. He doesn't give us an exact shear. You have to use your own logic, I guess, and common sense. Now, in terms of candles, that you're supposed to light the candles inside the sukkah. Some have the custom to light the candles in the sukkah and then move it inside. So they're concerned it might cause a fire. The problem is candles have to be lit where they're supposed to stay, and you're supposed to have them ideally where you are eating. If you're staying in the sukkah and the candles are inside the house, so you're not even eating. It's in your dining room, but you're not even eating there. It's not supposed to be there. It's really supposed to be stay in the same place the whole time, and ideally in the sukkah if it's not too small. Okay. It says the Gemara now. Yardu Gshamim. Misha said that if it rains, you're supposed to leave the sukkah. Tana, Misha Tisrach HaMakveh, when the pard becomes ruined. Shall Grisin, Grisin refers to oats, I believe. So Abai have a Kayosef Kameh de Rabbi Yosef. He is one sitting in front of Yosef, Bimital Alsta, in the sukkah, Neshev Zika, and the wind came along, Vekamaisi Tivusa, and some wood chips started to fall from the Schach. Amalhur of Yosef. Yosef said, "Panuli mani mahacha, remove all the kalim from this sukkah." So Amalei Abai says to him, "Bahatanan misha tishacha makap makfe." Only when the porridge gets ruined, but the porridge isn't being ruined yet. We can still eat here. So Amalei lididi kaven da nina daite. According to me, since I'm a nina daite, kimisha tishacha makfe damili. It's as if it's my porridge is being ruined. Now I'm such a nina daite. I'm such a stickler for these things. So therefore, let's go inside. Remember the Gemara? Yeah. What's a better word for Nina Daita?
Finicky.
Sensitive, right. Very sensitive. So, the Gemara at the end of Pesachim says that three people don't have, their life is not considered a life. A person who is Anina Daita, a person who is Kas, and it's a third one, I think, also. Either way, the Gemara says.
Consider a life?
Yeah, their life is not considered a good life because they're always angry or because they're always so finicky and sensitive about things. And there's a third thing also, I'm not remembering. Either way, the Gemara says... No, kas is a bad thing, but when the Gemara in Pesachim says there are three things that their life is not considered a good life, there are three things, I'm forgetting the third one. Either way, I think the Gemara says Rav Yosef had all three of them. So we see elsewhere Rav Yosef was a Nina Daita, not that we need another place, I'm just saying we do see it elsewhere anyways. So therefore he said, for me, since it's a mistar myself, let's go inside. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara says, quote from a Braisa, Haya Ocha Basukkah. This person's eating in the Sukkah, V'yarduk Shaman, begins to rain, V'yarad Ein Matrichin, Oso, and then he goes down. He leaves the Sukkah, he goes downward, he leaves the roof. Ein Matrichin, Oso Lalos, he doesn't have to go back up. Let's say he starts his meal downstairs in his house. And then it stops. He doesn't have to pick up his meal in the middle, go back to the sukkah. Ein machichon so lalos ad sheyaor. So what does ad sheyaor mean? Ibailu ad sheyaor with an ayin until he wakes up. He goes to sleep inside the house, let's say. Oh, ad sheyaor means till the sun rises with an ayin or with an aleph. So when does he have to go back to the sukkah?
Where were you?
In the Gemara. Where it says, oh, may I skip? I skipped a line. You're right. I skipped. My fault. Let's go back. Tanur Rabbanan. Haya ocha basukkah v'yarduk shaman. He's in the sukkah eating. It starts to rain v'yard. He goes down to the house. Ein matrichin oso lalos. He doesn't have to go back up to the sukkah. Ad sheyikmar shudaso until he finishes his meal. He finishes his meal and it turns out it stopped raining. He goes back to the sukkah. But if in the middle of the meal it stops raining, he doesn't have to go up to the sukkah. Let's say now haya yashin tachas sukkah. He's sleeping underneath the sukkah. V'yarduk shaman begins to rain. He's allowed to the yard, he goes inside the house. One year I was sleeping in the sukkah with my brother-in-law, and it was raining. So I went inside the sukkah, and he kept on sleeping during the rain. I didn't have to wake him up. And I woke up in the morning, he slept throughout the entire thing. So therefore a person goes back into the house when it rains. Ein machichon oso lalos ad sheyaor. He doesn't have to go back in the sukkah until he does something, yar, with an aleph. So how do you understand? Ibailu, which word does this mean? Ad sheyaor, yor? What's the proper print of
Yeor
until he wakes up himself? Oh, ad she Yeor. No, there's a machlok is how to read the word.
Ayin is until he wakes up, and aleph is until the light comes up.
From light. That's
right.
The
and there's one. No. And Ibailu, the Gemara asks, what's the word? Is it ad she Yeor? Yeor with an ayin? Oh, ad she Yeor with an aleph?
But it says in the Gemara with aleph.
Okay, but the Gemara had to say one way, but it was unclear. They still, when you say it over as a Masorah, you can't recognize it.
Until he will wake up.
Or until it sunrise.
Yeah, right.
So that's machlokas. So let's say he wakes up in the middle of the night. He wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's not light. Maybe he could stay in the sukkah. So Tashma, the Gemara says, Ad sheyaor v'yala omud hashachar. So until it sounds like from here, it should really be an ayin probably. So, so it's until Yaor.
Until the light comes out.
Right, I know, but then the Gemara asks, until it gets light and the sun rises, Tarti, why you repeat the same thing over and again, Ya'or, Ad Sheyala, Amun HaShach, Ella, Ema, Ad Sheyala, with an ayin, until you wake up, V'yala, Amun HaShach, and also sunrise. So let's say a person wakes up in the middle of the night, before sunrise, he does not have to go to the sukkah, he could stay in his house. Or if a person, let's say, is sleeping through sunrise, you don't have to wake him up to go back inside the sukkah until both are accomplished, until he awakes, and also sunrise has reached.
Is it Sukkot is still considered winter?
No, it's not winter yet.
You mean it's fall, not even fall. In Israel, it's boiling.
Did you hear about any snake bites in Sukkot?
Huh?
No?
Snake bites, why?
I'm afraid from snakes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
not in New York. And I don't think in Yerushalayim either, depending where in Israel you are.
Raccoon bites in New York.
Your brother-in-law is sleeping in the rain. So if you're sleeping, you can't be matriarch.
There's no obligation to wake him up if he sleeps through it, yeah.
He's getting soaked or whatever it is. He doesn't see it, he's not a problem.
Yeah. He's not missed star from it, yeah. Exactly. It was funny, but I'm like, okay, enjoy. He didn't know, but in the morning I said, you know, it was raining last night. I went inside. But the halacha says you don't have to wake him up if he's fine. I was more than happy to go back inside.
Okay. Checked.
Hmm?
You need to be checked.
He's a deep sleeper. Says the Gemara. Mashal al mahadavar domer. What's the mashal similar to when it rains on Sukkot? The Gemara told us the mashal. So Yibarilu, the Gemara asks, Mi shafach lami, who's pouring into whose face? Tashma, the Tanya, the Baisa teaches us. Shafach lo rabo kiton al panav, that the rabo is taking, the master is taking the canteen of water and pouring into the face of the Eved. Vamar lo, yef shi bishimushech. I don't want any of your service. Leave my presence. Tanur Rabbanan, Bizman Shechem Aloke Simin Ra L'chol Olam Kulo. When the saw now, completely different topic now. Just to talk about Simin Klalos, since we mentioned about the Mishnah raining, so we're talking about other Simin Klalos. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, if the sun is Loke, something happens to the sun, it's a Simin Ra L'chol Olam. It's considered bad for the entire world. Now, as Machlokas, what it means Chama Loke. Some say it refers to, it can't be referring to an eclipse, a solar eclipse, because that's natural. How can you say something wrong is happening when it's natural? It has to be something out of the ordinary. I don't know what other things could happen to the sun, but something out of the ordinary happens to the sun, that's a bad simon for the entire world. Others say no. It really means when a solar eclipse happens, even though it's natural, there are certain times during the calendar year, during lifetime, where things are just generally bad, because that's part of the way the system has been set up.
I was once in China, Erev Shabbos, and it was like 3:30 before Shabbos, and it got dark like night, before a storm. But not dark, like you say, dark. It was really nothing light I never saw in my life.
From a storm?
Yeah. Zero light.
Is that considered Simon Klala? That's different than clouds. That's like clouds, not something happening to the sun. It's just you can't see the sun, but that seems to be the clouds blocking it. This sounds to me, something actually happens to the sun. I don't know, some gases explode. They're always exploding. I don't know an example.
Maybe sunspots. But can you really see a sunspot with a naked eye?
Right. It's a large, but I'm not sure exactly what this means for us. But it sounds like something's happening to the sun as opposed to your cases where the clouds are just blocking your view of the sun. But it could be that also, because I really don't know. Now that Gemara goes on to say, what's the mashal ma'adavar domer? What's this similar to when the sun gets, something bad happens to the sun? Domel melech basar v'dam, similar to a king, she'asa suda la'avodav. He makes a big feast for his servants. V'hiniach p'nas l'fanam, he places a light for them to use, a lamp. Kas alem, he gets very angry at them. V'amr la'avodav, he says to his servants, tol p'nas mi p'nam, remove the lamp. V'oshivim b'choshech, sit in the dark. So this is similar to what you were saying, I guess. You know, sometimes Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it has to be dark, I guess. So if you put the cloud there, that's another way of removing the sunlight. So maybe that is what you were saying. Tanya the Brisa says, Rebbe Meir Omer, Kol Zman Shem Oros Logan. Whenever the various luminaries are, something happens to them, Simin Rala Sonam Shel Yisrael. When something happens to the moon or the stars, so that's a bad simon for the enemies of Israel, which refers to Klal Yisrael. Bipnei Shem Lumden B'Makoseyan, because they are comfortable, they're used to getting pain and punishment. So what does that mean exactly?
Daven
there? Huh? To daven there? Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about it. I'm going. Yeah, I'll go with it. Give me the salary. Yeah. They look at Rashi. Rashi says, this is the last narrow line in Rashi. He says, Kol mini peronios haban ba'olam. All the bad things that happen in this world, yesh lahem liyisrael ligog, we should be concerned. Vilomar and say, lo basim ze el bishfilenu, it should only come because of us. Yosem yishar umos, everything bad that happens is our problem, it's our fault. Ibnei shehen regilin lakos yosem yikulam, because we are the ones who usually get subjugated and go through these pains, and it's our fault. So, remember when I was living in Queens at a time when, during the big tsunami. Remember that tsunami we had, hundreds of thousands of people were wiped out and killed. Where? It was in East Asia somewhere, no?
Yeah. Or in Thailand.
Yeah. So I was living in Queens, and davened at Or Chaim on Shabbos, or Rabbi Lander. I gave a whole drasha about, you know, when things happen in the world, we have to take responsibility ourselves, and we're doing something wrong, whether not learning enough, not doing enough chesed, mitzvahs. It's our responsibility. And everything that happens, every current event, we have to look back at ourselves, what we're doing wrong as individuals and as a community. A couple weeks ago, Avram Shor was in North Woodmere, and he spoke about Snowden. Snowden, of course, who leaked everything, all the... Snowden, the name, the guy's name is Snowden.
Snowden.
Yeah, yeah, Snowden. He's now in Russia. So he says, you think, you know, Snowden, why do you think Snowden was out there to tell us, the world, that America, you know, listens to everything we do and reads all our emails? Is that the reason why? No, the point is, it's for Klai Yisrael to realize that everything we do, Akash Baruch Hu, just like this guy Snowden had access to everything we did, Akash Baruch Hu, how much more so does he know everything that we're doing as well? So every large current event is supposed to be taken to us. We don't always know how to translate. You need people like Rav Short to tell us how we're supposed to take the message. But everything is a message for us whenever these large current events happen. When Gemara tells us here, anything bad that happens to us is also supposed to be taken, that something we're doing wrong, we have to change. Gemara says, Mashal a sofer. This is a mashal to a sofer. Shabbala Bay Sefer. He goes to the school. Ritzubiyadlo, he has a whip, a strap in his hand. Me doeg, who's gonna be scared of the teacher who comes in with the whip? One who's gonna be scared is Misha Rogil Alakos Bechoyom Vyom Hu Doeg. The one who always gets hit is gonna be concerned. I'm probably the first one getting hit here. So too Klai Yisrael, unfortunately, that's the way it is, that we're always getting into trouble. Ones who are Malumad Bimako, says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanim. Brisa says, Bizman Shachama Loke. When bad things happen to the sun, whatever the issue might be, that's a bad simon to Ovdei Kochavim. Livana loke simon ra l'sonem. When something happens to the moon, again, I'm not sure an example of this refers to an eclipse, a lunar eclipse or not, I don't know. That's a bad simon l'sonem shel Yisrael. It's bad for Klal Yisrael. Bipnei shel Yisrael monim l'levana v'ovdei kochavim l'chama, because we have our calendar based on the lunar calendar, and they have it based on the solar. So that's why we are compared to the moon, and they're compared to the sun.
This is all called the Agarata now?
Yes. Uh-huh. You like this better, right?
Not necessarily. It's easier to digest. Let's go with it.
Gemara says, Loke b'mizrach, let's say it gets Loke in the east. I'm not sure the eastern part of the... Rashi says the east means, b'boker kishachama b'mizrach. As the sun is rising in the east, and then something happens to the sun, so that's a simen ra liyoshri mizrach, that's a bad sign for those who are living in the east. Bimarav, simen ra liyoshri marav, if it gets loke while going down, sunrise, sunset rather, on the west, that's a bad simen to the people living in the west. Bem sarki, let's say it's in the top, then it's a simen ra l'chol olam kulo, it's bad for everyone in the entire universe. Panav domim ladam, let's say the color of the sun is red, it's similar to... blood, cherev bali olam. It means a sword, literally, a war is coming to this world. If, let's say, leshek chite, what does that mean? If it's dark.
Lesak.
Lesak. It's a dark color, similar to the wool of a goat, Rashi says. Right. Goat's wool. That's dark. If it's very dark, then Rav on the Olam, then famine's coming to the world. Rashi says, because Mashkin Panim, people who are starving, their faces turn black. So that's what the simon is from that. V'lazu, if both of them, if it's red and black, then Cherev V'chitei Rav on the Olam, then both things are happening. There's both going to be war and famine in the world. Lokap Knisaso, if let's say it gets something bad happens to it, as it's coming in, Mamash B'Shkiyaso, when it's going down, Mamash at Shkia, then Pranios Shohei Lavo. It's going to be a little bit longer till it comes. That means Pranios are not coming right away. They're coming in a little bit later. B'Yitziyasa, right when the sun comes up, that's when it's Loka. Then Mimaheres Lavo. Then it's going to come quickly, these bad things. V'Yesha Omim Chilav Hadram. Others say, no, it's supposed to be the other way around. Okay. V'Ein Lecha Kalum of Umash Loka. She'ein Eloheha Loka Ima. There's no nation that when the nation themselves gets destroyed and battled, that the God doesn't come down with it. How do we know? Shenamar, u'b'chol Elohei Mitzrayim es ha-shvatim. All the gods with a lower G of Mitzrayim are going, I will take judgment against them. So that's as part of all the makos. The first makah that was plagued Mitzrayim was that of the Dam in the Nile River, because the Nile River was viewed to them as a god. So first they wanted to kill, if you will, the god of Mitzrayim. Ubizman Shi Israel Osin Ritzon Shemakom, the times when Klai Yisrael is doing the desires of Hashem, Ein Misyarin Mikol Eilish, should not be concerned with anything. They're completely okay when they're doing Ratzon Hashem. We're all protected. Shinemar Koma Hashem El Derech HaGoyim. This Hashem says to the path of the Goyim, El Derech HaGoyim Al Talamdu, don't learn the path of the Goyim. Umiosis Hashemayim Al Techatau. And don't the signs of the sky, don't be concerned. Ki Yechta HaGoyim Mehema, because the Goyim are going to get affected by all these different simonim. And the Gemara explains, Ovdi Kachom Yechtu, Ven Yisrael Yechtu. Only the Goyim should be concerned from all these various simonim, but Klai Yisrael should not be concerned with all the simonim, because as long as we're doing Ratzon Hashem, then we're going to be off. We're going to be saved. Okay. There's one simon that's not mentioned here, that when it I'm not sure where it's mentioned, it might be just in different chazal, when it snows on Aser B'Teves, that means it's going to be a bad winter. And indeed, at least in Eretz Yisrael, when I was there, it snowed pretty badly on Aser B'Teves. It proved true to be a pretty bad winter, both in Israel and in America, for that matter. So they say that's supposed to be also another simon for a bad year, when it snows in Aser B'Teves. So Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. It's actually interesting, Yonasan ben Iziel, when it talks about Aser B'Teves, Targum Yonasan writes, he throws in the word Aser B'Teves in there when it talks about snow. Very unclear what exactly is going on there. So they say that's a simon for this.
You got it?
Yeah, I like, you know.
Achanos, Achanos.
No,
what's the address?
I don't know the address, but it's very easy. It's if you're making left from here, from Woodmere, so to from Woodmere to West Broadway.
Howard Avenue. Tell them Howard Avenue.
It's Howard?
Oh,
Howard
Lights. So you continue
Howard
to.
Howard
Avenue, yeah.
Yeah, which?
And then you're making right, past the stop sign. It's the first big, bright house from the stone on the right. You cannot miss it.
On Howard?
Yeah. How do you see my car?
Okay, 1 second. Okay, go and don't...
We'll need that tomorrow, the picture book.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Tomorrow we'll... Yeah, all the Dal Aminim. Okay. Taner Rabbanan. Bishvil Arba Dvarim... There are four reasons why Chama Loge, why the sun might get, something bad might happen to the sun. Al Av Basin Shemes, Veno Nispar Kalachev. The Av Basin, the head of the basin, dies and he wasn't properly eulogized. Al Nara Murasa Shetaka, if a young girl who had been engaged was screaming Ba'ir, screaming for help me from this man, Vein Moshilo, you don't save her. Val Mishkov Zachar, Val Shneachin Nishanishbach, Daman Kechad, and two brothers who were killed at one time. Those are the four reasons why why Chama might be Loge. We feel our Badvar Maoros Loge, and there might be four different reasons why the moon and the sun might get something bad happen to those things. Our Kosve Plaster, which they change the gears on the side here to be Plaster also. So what does this refer to? Ah, okay. Forged documents. Va'al me'edi edus and shek, and those who give false testimony. Al migdali behemadak be'Eretz Yisrael, those who raise the small animals such as sheep and goat in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara is talking about why that's a problem. The Gemara is in Baba Kama.
Because they eat from everywhere, right? From
right.
The when they're not supposed to.
Va'al kotisei ilanos tovos, and those who cut down good trees, specifically fruit trees. It's an issur deraisa of cutting down fruit trees. So those four reasons why the Maoros might be Loken. There are four reasons why a person's property might be handed over to the king. On person who delays, it keeps in his hand paid documents. He collected his money and didn't throw out or didn't rip up his documents. He still holds on to them. Perhaps he intends on recollecting again from the person. Malve ribis, people who lend or borrow with on interest. Val shayasavik biyadam limchos v'lomicha. If a person had the ability to be mocha and someone who's over in avera and didn't, such a person will also. Val suppose can stuck brabim vinenos, a person who says in public, you know, he says I'm going to give X amount of money and he doesn't end up giving. These are four situations why a person's property might get handed over to the government. Amar Rav. Rav says, "B'shvil Arba Dvarim." There are four reasons why nichsei ba'ibatim yotzin letimyon. that a person's going to lose all his, on his own, just completely wipe out. Not that's taken away, but his property, his finances will completely go down. What are the four reasons? Al kofse schar sach, a person who holds back paying his worker. Al oshke sachar sachir, a person who, so koves, Rashi says, who pushes off. Don't worry, I'm coming, I'll give you tomorrow, I'll give you next week. And osek is a person who completely denies it. I don't owe you any money. And then a third case, third reason is, val shepurkin ol me'al tavarein v'nosna chavarein. A person has a certain burden, a certain a responsibility. He removes from himself and makes his friend be responsible for that same burden. I'm not sure an example, but he passes the burden on to somebody else. Val gas is a ruach, and a person who has who's gaiva, who's misgan, Rashi says, u'mishachar v'nal acheim b'shulas oshrin. He takes his power and his money to rule over other people. If the gas is ruach, connected kulam, and gas ruach is so bad, it's just as worse bad as the worse than the other three. Aval banavim, when it comes to people who are humble, because if it's written, banavim yishu eretz, those who are humble will inherit the land. V'sa'an glarov shalom, and will enjoy most peace. Hadron lach hayashen, and we'll pick up tomorrow the new parish of Ruach Hagasa.
I'm going away for a week.
All right.
You'll miss again, I know.
Down to South America?
Yeah.
The only good thing is that the weather is good.